Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm great. And don't worry, everyone. Robbie has only been incarcerated for a short period. Those are the wonderful concrete prison walls you hear behind him.
Yes, unfortunately, I am still in my mostly empty apartment in South Florida. Can't move full back until next weekend when I'm getting married. So that'll be great. There wasn't enough happening in that one on that weekend. I think that was the thing, Matt. Just I wasn't going to have enough to do. So they wanted to make sure that I could also have to move back for good and get married in the same weekend. That's really excellent.
Well, you know, they don't want you to be bored on the weekend. Come on now.
Yeah, bored.
The weekdays are for boring.
So I apologize for the echo. Before we get started, a few things to touch on. I guess this is a sad news if you like the show. We are, from this week's going forward, we are going back to one episode a week. I really enjoy doing 2 week. It's just, I don't think I can keep up with the schedule anymore. I know we own these episodes maybe only last 45 minutes, an hour at the most, but I put in probably 4 to 5 hours of work on each single one. That's including watching episodes, pulling clips, recording it, and editing and posting all that, you know, keeping up with it. It's a lot of work and getting burnout, and this is supposed to be fun, right, Matt?
Yes, fun. That's what life is about.
It's not supposed to be work. So I want to keep the show, you know, happy and positive. I do not want to make it work. So I reserve the right to go back to twice a week in the future if I ever get more time freed up. But at the moment, we're going to go back to once a week. I know. I'm sorry. I apologize, but it'll be a better show than trying to force out two episodes a week when I don't necessarily have the time. Other thing I want to talk about, Matt, I think this is interesting. A lot of feedback on this when I posted this on our Facebook page, the Simpsons Show Facebook page. They announced this week, I think David Silverman, was it Al Jean? Maybe Al Jean announced it on Twitter. I forget who it was specifically. No more Simpsons DVDs. They will not be actually publishing any more of The Simpsons on DVDs aside from what is already out there.
So that just means they're switching to Blu-ray, right?
No, they didn't explicitly say that, but I'm fairly certain they mean no more physical media. I think they're putting everything out on The Simpsons, Simpsons World on their internet portal.
Progressive.
Yeah, there's a lot of people are upset about it on our Facebook, and I think in general, Simpsons fans are very obsessive, and I know a lot of people who do not buy any other DVDs, but they buy the Simpsons DVDs. I mean, these are the later seasons we're talking about, which don't have as many fans, but still, the collector part of me wants to say, but it's not all of them. Although they did reserve, I think Al Jean did mention, once the entire series is done, we'll probably have a complete Simpsons box set or something.
That would destroy all of my shelves. That'd be so huge.
Yeah, it'd be that's a lot of discs. Even on Blu-ray, that's a lot of discs. But I understand why they're doing it. DVD sales and Blu-ray sales are down because most people are switching over to, you know, just digital everything, Netflix. And I mean, everything on Netflix and Amazon Prime and et cetera, iTunes. You don't need the DVDs, but still, there's a part of me that I own 1 through 10. I probably wouldn't buy anything after that anyway, unless it was really cheap. But I understand the anger because it's, you know, be able to see it and touch it is kind of, especially for when something you like so much.
That's true. Everyone wants a shelf full of every episode of The Simpsons ever. I think my collection only goes up to season, I think 10 or 11 now.
I have 10, 1 through 10, which are now in my new house that I'm not at. Before we get into this week's episode, remind you guys, please rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes, or wherever you do listen to us. It really helps us out. Each new review gets more attention to the show, gets more people to see it, and we really appreciate it. This week's episode, Bart's Friend Falls in Love, episode 8, F22, originally airs May 7th, 1992. It was written by Jay Kogan and Wallace Wolodarski, directed by Jim Reardon. Finished 35th in the ratings, a Nielsen rating of 12.4, approximately 11.4 million viewing households. It was the fourth highest rated show on Fox that week, following Beverly Hills 90210, In Living Color, and Married with Children.
fourth. What is wrong with you people? 90210 is not worth it.
Well, Matt, I want to make this clear. You are not, the people listening to this are not in 1992. They cannot retroactively not watch those shows.
Well, you know, it was 1992. People weren't as smart back then.
I just want to make this clear. This is not time travel. You understand?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. Chalkboard gag. I will not snap balls. That's you shouldn't do that. That's wrong. That's bad.
Well, the funny thing is, he's in elementary school, so he pretty much has to be referring to the teachers, right?
I guess so. I mean, maybe training brawls? I don't know. I don't know what pubescent girls do, so. Either way, not advisable. Don't do that. That's bad. Couch gag. Couch tips over backwards, and the family falls off. Again, I believe is a repeat. Guest stars Kimmy Robertson as Samantha Stanky. Kimmy Robertson is most famously was in Twin Peaks. She's in lots of stuff, does lots of voiceovers. If you saw her, you'd go, oh yeah. She was in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. She's the neighbor's wife, I think. Yeah, oh. I think she's the neighbor's wife in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, which is the thing I'd place her in. And of course, Phil Hartman as Troy McClure. I almost didn't list him as a guest star because Phil, it seems like Phil is basically just the extra cast member, just doesn't appear as often as everyone else.
That's true, because that's the thing about The Simpsons is so many of their, you know, other voices are done by people who are always around. Dan Castellaneta does a bunch, Hank Azaria does a bunch, Harry Shearer, and they're pretty much in every episode. Troy McClure is, you know, I feel like if Julie Kavner didn't do Marge, she would be on equal footing with Phil Hartman.
Yeah, that's true. The beginning of the episode is a complete reference, like a shot-for-shot remake of Raiders of the Lost Ark, the beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark, with Bart, instead of trying to get like an idol, he's trying to get a jar of pennies, Homer's jar of pennies. Or change jar, I guess. Is it just pennies? I forget if it says it on the jar.
No, it's full change jar.
Yeah. And Homer stands in for the boulder and for the natives chasing after. It's a great sequence.
Homer is the boulder.
And there's almost no dialogue, and it's really, really well directed. And even Bart's, the lucky red cap, serves as stand in for Indy's hat. And he reaches back and grabs it. So good. It's often listed as one of the best movie references The Simpsons have ever done. And just because they completely go for it, and it's really good. Bart has escaped from Homer, and he's on the bus with Milhouse. And we find out Milhouse has bought a magic 8-ball.
Hey, Bart, look at this. My dad took me to Circus of Values last night and said I could get anything I wanted.
Cool, an oversized novelty billiard ball.
Yeah, you shake it up and it tells the future.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, I passed my English test. Outlook not so good. Wow, it does work.
Let me try. Will I get beat up today? All signs point to yes.
That ball knows everything.
Ah, Nelson. Proving psychics right since the beginning of his Earth, I guess.
But, you know, they're very interested in the Magic 8-Ball. And then Bart has a very particular question for the Magic 8-Ball, and the answers are not necessarily what he and Milhouse are looking for.
Hey, I got a good one. Will Milhouse and I be friends till we're toothless old men with hair coming out of our ears? Don't count on it. Will Milhouse and I be friends when we're high school dropouts living off Uncle Sucker? It looks doubtful. Will Milhouse and I be friends at the end of the day? What could come between two bestest buddies like us?
And then the camera pans and cuts directly to the shot of Samantha Stanky, who is talking to Principal Skinner. Principal Skinner doesn't trust her because she's a transfer student. He thinks some other principal is pawning off some bad kid to him.
Yep, that's the only reason she would show up.
Only reason. He also is getting several Vietnam flashbacks, which are really funny because Vietnam's hilarious. Samantha is taken to her classroom, which is with the Miss Krabappel and this Bart and Milhouse's class. she's introduced as Samantha Stinky. So Principal Skinner is very, you know, really good at, you know, getting her off on the right foot with her classmates. I really enjoyed her. What is it? The town smells, has a weird smell to it, and everyone else is used to it, but she still thinks it's weird. And Krabappel says you'll get used to it in 6 weeks. I like that Krabappel has an exact number for how long it takes to get used to Springfield's smell. But Milhouse is immediately kind of taken by her. Bart is, you know, oblivious. He sees her and he's immediately like, he's interested in her. You know, they're stealing glances from each other like that. We then see the aforementioned Phil Hartman doing his Troy McClure in a 70s sex ed video.
Hello, I'm actor Troy McClure. You kids might remember me from such educational films as Lead Paint, Delicious But Deadly, and Here Comes the Metric System. I'm here to provide the facts about sex in a frank and straightforward manner. And now here's Fuzzy Bunny's Guide to You Know What. This is Fuzzy Bunny. About a year ago, he noticed his voice was changing. He had terrible acne and had fur where there was no fur before.
Yep, extra fur on a rabbit. That makes total sense.
It does. I didn't pull this entire thing because it's like two to 3 minutes long. So I cut it up in two, but we get the full on 70s. The rabbits are like wearing like bell bottoms and
they have like fros.
Yeah, it's a very, and it's all, but it's also like the remnants of the 60s, I guess, with like, you know, flowers and that kind of hippie Woodstocky art style. I don't have a name for it, but we cut to Troy McClure explaining what happens after the Bunnies get married.
Then came the big day. Fluffy and Fuzzy got married. That night came the honeymoon.
She's faking it.
The most satisfying part of the night was knowing that they waited. 9 months later, Fluffy gave birth to 14 beautiful bunnies. 8 survive. And now that you know how it's done, don't do it.
I like how Krabappel just knows she's faking, even though she's animated.
Well, you know, it's still voice talent. I don't know. It's a really spot on for those educational videos that were completely moralizing. I was exposed to many of them in Christian school in particular, so it strikes a chord with me. Not necessarily a good one, but it does. It brings up some memories. We cut to the playground. Bart's being Bart. He's just giving people wet willies, etc. Milhouse gets hit in the head with a ball. His glasses fall off. And I think this is a really good introduction to him, his kind of infatuation with Samantha, because his glasses fall off. And as he reaches down, grabs them, puts them back on, she is what he sees, you know, front and center. And he's immediately taken by her. He asks if she can walk her home. And she, of course, she accepts. We don't really see. I think Samantha is just happy to have someone in town that is friendly. We don't see any reason that she likes Milhouse. I guess, can you get any of that out of that, Matt?
Not really. I'm pretty sure it's just the first person to be nice to her because, you know, she's a new kid, new school, and no one likes Milhouse. He's not even a nerd. He's not even smart. So why would anybody like Milhouse?
He's nice. I think that's the thing. He's a nice kid. That's all that matters.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a nice... Not... Hey, Matt, don't say that. Okay? I'm saying he's a nice guy in the not in quotation marks kind of way, okay?
He's such a nice boy.
I want to make that clear. It's the actual nice guy, not quote-unquote nice guy.
He's like Senior Foggy.
He is like Senior Foggy. Me and Matt have been watching Daredevil. Along with half the nation, he is like Senor Foggy. That's exactly what I was thinking about. Bart is on the bus by himself. Milhouse and Samantha end up in the treehouse. Bart's by himself reading comics. They end up there. He's kind of shocked there's a girl in the treehouse. I think there's kind of an unspoken rule between Bart and Milhouse is that there's no girls allowed. But Bart, I mean, he's kind of welcoming at first in the fact that he goes like they're reading comics and he goes to get comics from Lisa's collection, the so-called crappy comics. that Samantha likes. So he does go down and grab them for her to read, but when he comes back up, he is shocked to find both Milhouse and Samantha kissing. How dare they?
Oh, no.
Not in the treehouse.
They're fourth graders. They can't do that yet.
Marge does make a point later on. They are not. It's closed mouth kissing. So it's cute. It's cute when it's closed mouth. It's fourth graders closed mouth kissing. But with Bart shocked, we cut to commercial.
And when we come back, we get introduced to the B story of this episode, which is Lisa worrying about Homer's health. We start off with Homer on the couch. The lights are out because if you watch TV with the lights on, you're a normal person. If you watch it with the lights out, you're a deviant. Homer is breathing heavily. You can see his gigantic stomach up and down. And he sees an ad on TV for the most delicious sounding burger ever.
We take 18 ounces of sizzling ground beef. Ooh. And soak it in rich, creamery butter. Then we top it off with bacon, ham, and a fried egg. We call it the Good Morning Burger.
To be fair, I've had that burger. It's delicious. And I actually just had one on Thursday, which also added crispy onions and hash browns to that, which made it even better. So I don't know why Lisa's trying to say that's terrible for you. I think that's what they're implying. But, that's, you know.
As I was watching this, I was thinking, I'm like, I routinely eat burgers that are way worse than that. So I don't.
It's hard
for me to judge Homer when I'm like, well, I ate a sandwich the other day that was way more fattening than that. So I guess
when I was a kid, I saw that and I was like, man, that burger sounds pretty good, but I guess it's terrible for you. I should never have something like that. Yeah. Cut to today. Okay. Anyway, Lisa, of course, sees this and Homer is just ecstatic about this burger. He drops his beer onto the ground. He's so excited about it. And Lisa, of course, is heavily concerned about that. But we just see that for right now. We then cut to Samantha leaving the treehouse because she was, quote, getting her braces examined, end quote. And of course, gross. Bart confronts Milhouse and says, how can you do this? We're living in the age of cooties. And Milhouse is like, oh, it's like kissing, man. It's so wonderful. It's not even the kissing. It's the waiting to kiss. And Bart's like, what's so great about it? And Milhouse gives the best explanation for kissing ever. You know when you take an Eskimo pie and you wait just a little bit for it to melt? And Bart, of course, says, she doesn't melt. And Milhouse, I'm not really sure what he's getting at here, but he says, oh, yes, she does. Which, I honestly, I'm not sure what he's going for there. I mean, like, my sick mind goes to other...
My thoughts, Matt, are is that it is Milhouse's fourth grade version of him, you know, of her being enraptured with him. Like,
of course, that's what we're gonna go with.
I think that's what it is. I think it is his understanding of what that means, not actually what it means.
Okay, good. So, hopefully he heard that somewhere else and just repeating it.
Yeah, that's what my thoughts are. I think.
All right. And then we cut back to Homer and Lisa once again with another amazing food commercial.
We start with pure milk chocolate.
Chocolate.
Add a layer of farm fresh honey.
Oh, sweet.
Then we sprinkle on four kinds of sugar. And dip it in rich, creamery butter.
I don't know who these people are, but they love their rich, creamery butter for some reason. But that also sounds amazing.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, that voiceover, they should just make her describe all the food because it makes everything sound amazing.
It really does. I'm not sure I'm so sure about the four kinds of sugar, but chocolate dipped in honey, that sounds pretty amazing. But I'm sure back then it was thought of as the height of unhealthiness.
Now it's all chocolate is dipped in honey, Matt.
Oh, well, thank God. At this point, Lisa comes up to Homer and says, you know, Dad, I'm worried about your health. What if I told you there was a way you could lose weight without even trying? And Homer has one of the best lines of the episode. I'd call you a dirty, rotten liar. Why, sweetie? Because Lisa has been reading Eternity Magazine, which was that a real magazine, Robbie Dino?
I don't think so. I think it was a reference to similar magazines.
Although okay, fair enough.
If anybody is aware of an actual Eternity, well, I do have a computer in front of me. I can tell you very quickly, Matt, if it's a real thing or not. Not, there was an Attorney magazine. Not a science. It's not a futurism science.
Is it a porn mag?
No, it was a monthly conservative Christian magazine published from 1950 to 1988.
Okay, that makes more sense from eternity.
Yeah, but it did not. Certainly was not about future science and you know all that.
Well, apparently Lisa has been reading the advertisements in said magazine and has found these subliminal weight loss tapes for Homer. So of course. Homer said, or Marge tells Homer, oh, you don't need these, and then immediately gets the number from Lisa and begins to call. I would really like to play this for you, but it's kind of long. But apparently, there are a variety of choices for subliminal learning. There's losing weight, expanding his vocabulary, and also hostage negotiation, where we get a great little cutaway that's mostly visual, but is great as Homer being a hostage negotiator and getting shot for doing a terrible job, because Homer would be a terrible hostage negotiator, no matter how great the subliminal learning was. But she orders the weight loss tapes, and unfortunately, they are all out of Subliminally Slim, which, one, great name. Two, they give him the vocabulary builder, and I love the guy's tone. It's like, oh, good luck, Fatso. Doesn't even know who the guy is, you know, just calls him Fatso. Great people. They also appear to be in the 70s because of their long, somewhat mulleted hair and apparently bell-bottom jeans at this particular warehouse.
It was set in the same time period as the Fuzzy Bunny video.
Yes, exactly.
Whenever you order a tape, you're also time traveling.
Yes. And of course, at this point, Homer gets the vocabulary builder tape because, you know, time works like that on TV. And he puts in the tape. I guess he doesn't look at the label at all. He just puts it in and starts listening to it. And luckily, we get a treat as Marvin Monroe is the one who's going to help him build his vocabulary. And of course, the first word he learns is abattoir. And for those of you who didn't watch the episode, an abattoir is a slaughterhouse. So you learned a word. I actually learned a significant amount of new words from this episode when I was a kid. So good on you, Simpsons. But Homer learns quite a few words. And the next morning, when he is down at breakfast, Lisa and Marge are surprised to see Homer stuffing his face quite extensively and ask him whether the weight loss tapes are working.
Homer, has the weight loss tape reduced your appetite?
Oh, lamentably, no. My gastronomic rapacity knows no satiety.
There you go. That's what happens when you're hungry. Your gastronomic rapacity knows no satiety.
Mine, that's routine, Matt. That's my routine. That's my standard setting.
Exactly. Homer's breakfast as well. Just stuffing your face full of bacon and eggs and pancakes. I mean, that's a normal breakfast, I thought. But anyway, at this point, Bart is a massive third wheel with Milhouse and Samantha. And basically, he goes everywhere with them to the movies and whatnot. And they pretty much spend all their time kissing, which I didn't have a girlfriend in fourth grade, but I probably would be doing the same thing if I had.
Yeah, it's hard to blame Milhouse. Because I fairly positive that would have been me as well.
Yeah, and of course it's Milhouse, so he knows if he loses Samantha, he'll never get another girl again because, you know, he's Milhouse. So Bart goes out in search of new friends, and when he gets on the bus the next day, obviously Samantha and Milhouse are sitting together, so he sits with Martin. And Martin, of course, will not abandon him for a girl because he is as unpopular with the fellas as he is, or what terms does he use? Dames and chaps, is that it? No,
chaps as he is with the, is unpopular with the ladies as he is with the chaps.
Ah, yes, the ladies and the chaps. And of course, Bart's like, okay, that's fine. And Martin immediately gets up and announces to the bus that they are friends because it's probably the first friend Martin has ever had.
Yeah.
You know, Bart continues with this, despite his reservations, and he goes to Martin's house at the end of the day, where Martin plays the lute for him, which, if you've ever heard the lute, it's pretty much as you expect. And of course, while Martin is playing the lute with his eyes closed, Bart cannily sneaks out and runs away. We then get to see Homer and Marge in bed discussing, Bart's, you know, lackadaisical behavior of recent.
I don't know if that tape is working. You ate three desserts tonight.
For parents, it's the watchword. That triumvirate of Twinkies merely overwhelmed my resolve.
There's another thing I've been wanting to talk to you about.
Tut, tut, gentle Marge. For here in the boudoir, the gourmand metamorphosizes into the voluptuary.
What in God's name are you talking about? Oh.
So apparently that's how you distract Marge. You just get her to think about snuggling.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not like it's not an unattractive thing. He just has a confusing vocabulary.
That's true. If you don't know these words, they probably seem a little weird to you. But thankfully, as you know, Simpsons fans, we now understand all of these words. Also, if you are having trouble looking them up, feel free to watch this episode with subtitles. They are very helpful to what he is actually saying. I actually watched this on Wednesday for the first time with subtitles and figured out what he was trying to say when he was saying voluptuary. So very helpful subtitles they are. The next day, we see a quick little Itchy and Scratchy cartoon, basically mirroring Bart's and Milhouse's current situation. Again, Bart is still the third wheel in pretty much everything that they do. And we close the act on Bart with a sinister look on his face because he has determined he is going to break up Samantha and Milhouse.
Dun, dun, dun!
Yarp. Bart is a terrible friend.
You know, the dude who says that plays that guy in Hot Fuzz is in Game of Thrones. He plays the Hound.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He also did an Irish Spring commercial in Ireland.
I should know better than trying to, you know, reveal amazing facts to you, man. But we come back. Bart is, as we see, calling Samantha's dad to reveal to him what Samantha's been doing after school. I even like the fact that he's like trying to hide the fact that he's doing this, and Homer walks by and says and makes a comment about like a Machiavellian countenance. So it's like, if you can understand what the hell Homer's saying, he's actually pegged it 100% correct. Which I guess he was, if he didn't have the vocabulary, he would just said looks like you're up to something. But Machiavellian countenance sounds so much better.
Indeed.
But he calls Samantha's dad, and the trap is sprung. Milhouse and Samantha are up in the treehouse kissing, and her dad comes, snatches her out of there. Before she can even have a chance to explain it, he's basically going to enroll her at an all-girls school, and she's never going to see Milhouse again. Milhouse is kind of broken by this. It's really sad.
Well, Milhouse, 'tis better to have loved and lost, yada, yada, yada. Let's go to the arcade.
How could this happen? We started out like Romeo and Juliet, but it ended up in tragedy.
It's a great line. Milhouse is kind of like, he's like standing alone on the, you know, on the jungle gym. You know, it's just continually just sad and sadder and sadder. Homer is at this point incomprehensible to almost everyone. Like, he just is talking all the time. And he's like these humongous vocabulary words. And so no one can understand what he's saying. And Lisa's very excited because it's been 2 weeks since you've gotten your tape. Let's weigh you and see what you're doing. And he's gained 13 pounds in two weeks.
That's a lot, no matter what.
Yeah, in 2 weeks? You'd have to be stuffing your face nonstop. I guess it's Homer. So, yes.
You'd have to get married or something.
Oh, no. I weigh too much already, Matt. Don't say that.
I was referring to myself in the week I got married.
And that's, well, it's get ready. Four Rivers. Bart is feeling guilty, and he comes to Lisa because he couldn't find Marge. And he even says that he went to Homer, but he could not understand what he was saying, which is
would understand a 10-year-old not understanding what Homer is saying.
Yeah, exactly. Homer would be incomprehensible. But Lisa, she reveals another nugget from the Eternity magazine, revealing that GE is working on a mint gel that removes guilt, destroys the neurons in your brain that create guilt or something.
They neutralize the neurotransmitters, so you know it's not the worst thing in the world. It just takes a few chemicals out of your brain.
Sounds like solid science to me. I can't wait till I get.
Well,
I play.
That's essentially what drugs do: is they inhibit or stimulate neurotransmitter production. So it's not really that different.
I understand that, Matt. I just don't necessarily want it on me.
Probably a good idea.
I probably best to feel the things that are in your brain, unless you're a crazy person.
Also true.
But Bart And Lisa's like, well, it's not on the market. You're just going to have to, if you're feeling that guilty, you probably should just go tell him what you did and just work it out. So Bart does that. He comes upon Milhouse and he lists all the ways in which he has seen Milhouse cry.
Milhouse?
Bart, I didn't want you to see me cry.
Oh, come on. I've seen you cry a million times. You cry when you scrape your knee. You cry when they're out of chocolate milk. You cry when you're doing long division and you have a remainder left over.
Well, I didn't want you to see me cry this time.
Listen, Milhouse, I got a confession to make. I'm the one who narked on your kissing.
And Milhouse immediately launches into a rage and is, like, choking Bart. Bart reaches out. First, let's see, we get a broken bottle, a brick, there's some other heavy object, but his hand finally lands on the magic eight ball. It smashes Milhouse in the head, and they end their fight, and seemingly are, you know, friends again quickly, because we see them back together very shortly. In the meanwhile, we find that Homer's vocabulary has gone back down to its normal level, so almost non-existent.
Or even worse, since he can't remember spoon.
Don't spoil the clip, Matt.
Sorry.
Marge, where's that metal dealie you used to dig food?
You mean a spoon?
Yeah. Sorry, good.
To be fair, Homer, it doesn't have to be metal. Spoons can be made of all kinds of materials.
To dig food? The question mark. But Bart and Milhouse go and visit Samantha. She's in an all-girls school, a Catholic all-girls school that is taught by French-Canadian nuns. Apparently that French song that one of the nuns is singing is complete nonsense because the voice actress, which one is it? I forget. It is... Maggie Roswell did not know French, so she just made up words.
Yep. Love it.
But Samantha is not displeased to be there. She likes the school. She likes the nuns. She does miss Milhouse, and they have a final goodbye kiss that costs her 50 rosaries.
But she also hates that they never let her oot, which as a kid I did not understand at all.
Yeah, that's.
I thought it was a weird Canadian thing or French thing.
Well, it is. It is a weird French-Canadian thing. Canadian thing in particular, I suppose. But they have a little bit of a sad goodbye. And then Bart and Milhouse kind of wander away to cause mischief. I think throw something at somebody. I forget exactly what it was.
I believe it was eggs at old people? Oh, no, donuts. Whipped donuts at old people.
And why would you waste donuts like that?
Right? Maybe they were like Dunkin' Donuts donuts.
True. And they do have there's a quick little screen of Homer's teaching, like Homer's vocabulary worksheet. It's really funny. It actually is the last thing you say before your credits roll. It's really funny. It's only like 5 seconds. I didn't catch all the gags on it. But it's a good solid episode. You know, it is.
It's funny. It's got the heart.
Yeah. It has the emotional content, has a lot of character. It's really funny. It has that amazing opening sequence with the Raiders of the Lost Ark thing. And the B plot is a really fun light with Homer. You know, we get to see a kind of a smart Homer. All it takes is subliminal tapes. And he is immediately a smart person.
Yes. Apparently that's all it takes. So maybe if he had actually gotten the weight loss tapes, he would have actually lost weight and we would have been, you know, spared years and years of fat jokes at Homer. Oh, well.
So Matt,
maybe it's better this way.
Is there any truth to the subliminal tapes? Do they work in real life?
Unfortunately, there's no evidence that I have seen that they do. Subliminal messaging is, you know, basically the idea is that, well, at least with subliminal, you know, images that they fly by too fast, but they're registered by your subconscious, which so far has not been proven. As far as listening to things when you're asleep, I don't think anyone's done a whole lot of, you know, big studies on that. So the jury's out, but I would not bet on it.
No, I wouldn't bet on it either. But that's the episode. It's a good one. We'll rank it at the other show.
It is better than I remembered.
Yeah. Next up, remind you guys, please keep sending in my favorite episode submissions. Keep getting them in. I like seeing them, so please keep sending them. Simply send us an email at simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com explaining why any particular episode is your favorite, your history behind it, whatever. We'll read it on air. Next up, Matt is comments from the news group.
Oh no!
A lot of a lot. It's a very nerdy, for the most part, very nerdy comments about this one. A lot of talk about magic eight balls. Apparently, what's inside of them is a D20 with all those answers on them.
Really?
Yeah, that's a.
I want a magic eight ball to take apart.
Yeah, those are, and then someone misidentified what a 20-sided die shape is, and then their people got upset about that. So, hey guys, the people who were commenting on Simpsons episodes on the internet in 1982 were nerds. Surprise, surprise.
Shocked.
They were also talking about shell scripts to compile quotes, and if anyone had written any.
That's, well, you know, like you said, back then, everyone on the internet was a super nerd, so that would have been a common topic of discussion.
The other thing they were discussing was why is we have base 10 math is, I'm not sure, you maybe know something of this, Matt, because you're a smart person. Evolution, like, they say we have base 10 math because we have 10 fingers, or that, and somebody was arguing that we evolved 10 fingers because we naturally have count with base 10 math. Which seems backwards to me. It seems, if anything,
that definitely is backwards.
Yeah, I would say we have base 10 math. If there's any link at all, it's because we have 10 figures, not the other way around.
Right. I think that's one of the main theories right now. It's just, you know, we got 10 things to count. So, I mean, I guess certainly we could have base 20 math like the Mayans, but since we have 10 toes and 10 fingers, but we went with 10 because it's annoying to take your shoes off.
And then someone was arguing also that eventually we're going to have 6 fingers. And then we'll have different math because we'll have more fingers. I don't think even if we did have more fingers, our math would change. I think it would.
Yeah, that would be. There would have to be a lot of evolutionary pressure for us to get to 6 fingers. And I don't really see people with 6 fingers being that much better at anything, especially in reproductive terms.
That's true. See, guys, Matt the scientist, always here to save the day. And one further thing, which I actually mentioned this back in Homer at the Bat. There's a poster on the wall about the Heimlich maneuver, right? You remember that, Matt?
I do. That's where I first learned of the Heimlich maneuver.
About it actually saving, and I mentioned it saved some lives. And it's at this point where this had actually happened. A child saved another child from choking because they had seen that poster on The Simpsons. So very, very shortly thereafter, a life was saved due to The Simpsons.
It wouldn't be the first. It wouldn't be the last.
It wouldn't be the last. That's correct. It probably isn't the first either. I mean, how many people watch The Simpsons gone? I'm going to keep on living because The Simpsons exists. I need to watch all of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Next up, listener question of the week. And this week's question is, what is your favorite Sideshow Bob quote? And there's a lot of them, and they're amazing. As I was reminded by these answers, you guys came out in droves for this. I really appreciate it. Love all the answers. You guys do a great job. Answering the questions and kind of chattering and talking. You guys are I learn every week. Simpsons fans are the best fans. First, we have Izzy, friend of the show. Izzy at Izzy Steak Fries. No children have ever meddled with a Republican Party and lived to tell about it. Well, it may have been true at that time, but Bart and Lisa prove him wrong. Francis at FM Warner. Quote, ah, for the days when aviation was a gentleman's pursuit, back before every Joe Sweatsock could wedge himself behind a lunch tray and jit off to Raleigh-Durham. Bob's character encapsulated in a single quote. It's pretty good. Amanda at Drawn to Insanity, best before November 1959. Damn it, Bob, there were plenty of brand new bombs, but you had to go for that retro 50s charm. We have Jaron? One or the other? At pot on my head. Hash. I'm so used to Twitter. Quote, I shall send you to heaven before I send you to hell. The most quintessential Sideshow Bob quote ever. Class and terror. Sean at ShawneeMac15. The setup, the punchline, and the response. No one who speaks German can be bad. Is comedy perfection. We have John at... That's true. At John at Jive John. Lisa, you don't spend 10 years as a homicidal maniac without learning a few things about dynamite. Absolutely true. Brendan on Facebook. It has to be his line. Oh, yes. All that stuff I did after his grandiose confession in Sideshow Bob Roberts. The way his voice changes makes me laugh every time. Also, a special mention for Kelsey Grammer's long, uninterrupted laugh upon his election as mayor. It's a wonder he didn't blow at his voice. We have Heather. Well, if it isn't my arch nemesis, Bart Simpson, and his sister, Lisa, to whom I'm fairly indifferent. It makes me chuckle. Jordan, I am calling from Springfield Penitentiary for a crime I didn't even commit. attempted murder. Come on now. Do they give a Nobel Prize for attempted chemistry? This is my favorite Sideshow Bob quote because it shows his crazy brilliance. He is correct that he didn't actually commit a crime, but he doesn't get that trying to kill people or just one. Well, he says, or just one Bart is wrong, but he did try to kill Patty as well. Mark, Frasier is my second favorite show behind The Simpsons, so I gotta love Brother from Another Series. Quote, Cecil, no civilization history has ever considered chief hydrological engineer a calling. Yes, yes, the Cappadocians, fine. And which Matt and I both have used for trivia questions. And finally, we have Chris. When Bob is up for parole and Bart wants to know what he is thinking, and Bob in his head says, I wonder if they still make that shampoo I like. Which is great. It's a good play off it subverts expectations of what we expect Bob to think.
Now, Matt, which is, that entire episode really is a subversion of, you know, what you expect Bob to do when he gets out of prison. He just, you know, doesn't want to do anything, just wants to live a normal life. The only time.
It's true. You can't do it every time because then it doesn't work. Matt, what's your answer?
I am also going to have to mine Sideshow Bob Roberts for the quote, oh, your guilty conscience may force you to vote Democratic, but deep down you secretly long for a cold-hearted Republican to lower taxes, brutalize criminals, and rule you like a king, which I'm sure is probably true of you people.
I like your delivery. Bob. I like your delivery on that one, Matt. That was good.
Thank you. What about you, Robbie? What's your favorite?
I'm going to go from... It's from Brother from Another Series, but it's the dynamite quote. At least you don't spend 10 years as a homicidal maniac without learning a few things about dynamite, which is it. I really like that series because we get to see them team up. It's like Dr. Doom teaming up with the Fantastic Four. And I think that's probably my favorite quote from that episode. And the most of what I like, I think Cape Fear, there's a lot of Cape Fear noises from the rake, which is the noise he makes when he hits the rake over and over again. That's probably my second. Just the... what do you want to... What's the question for next week, Matt? I didn't think of one.
Oh,
Best Milhouse moment?
Either best Milhouse moment or best short-term girlfriend for one of the kids. I don't know.
I think the Milhouse moment is easier. I think it's easier.
Fair enough.
So next week's question, guys, listener question next week is, what is your favorite Milhouse moment and why? I'll post this on our social media. It'll be on Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, on Twitter, @SimpsonsShowPod, and you can, of course, email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. So we are, with the change that we're only doing one episode a week, I know, it's sad, we are shifting our No Google Trivia Challenge over to this episode. So we will continue to have the trivia challenge because I think it's a great addition. It's such an integral part of Simpsons culture. So without further ado, it's time for the new Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
No Google Trivia Challenges. Me and Matt will challenge one another with three trivia questions, one easy, one medium, one hard. And see if we can stump the other. We welcome suggestions for themes for us to structure our questions around. And this week, we got one. It's music-related questions from our buddy Matt at Friends with Music Podcast. He sent me a long list of questions around music. And I thought that's a good idea because Simpsons music is really integral to the show. I think a lot of the best episodes really have a strong musical presence. So, Matt, you want to go first? You want me to go first?
I will go first today.
Okay. Hit me with your best shot.
All right. Your easy question. In what episode does Mr. Burns sing about his wardrobe?
2001 Greyhounds.
That is correct. That was a fantastic episode that I loved dearly and still do to this day. I can't wait till we get to it.
You ready, Matt?
I'm ready.
Who composed the Simpsons theme song?
I believe that'd be Mr. Danny Elfman.
That'd be correct. Danny Elfman he composed many songs. The singing voice of Jack Skellington, Oingo Boingo,
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yep, a lot of stuff.
Wait, did you say Oingo Boingo?
Yeah, he was the lead singer of Oingo Boingo, right?
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Fairly positive.
It's amazing. I never knew that.
Medium question, Matt. Go.
All right, your medium question. When Homer wins a Grammy with the B Sharps, what famous musician does he meet at the after party?
George Harrison.
That is correct. One of the surviving Beatles.
My favorite Beatle.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure everyone who knows a decent amount about music loves George Harrison. But sorry. Anyway,
as my guitar gently weeps.
I didn't know guitars could weep, but you know,
when George Harrison plays them,
that's true. I can definitely see that happening.
Ready, Matt? Ready for medium?
I'm ready.
What song does Homer sing to on the radio in The Way We Was?
Oh, what is that song called? Steve Miller Band. Oh God, I don't know the name of the song. I could sing it for you, but I have no idea what it's called.
I need a name. I need a name, Matt. I can't go by recollections of lyrics. I need a name of the song.
Joker?
I guess I can count that. It's The Joker, but
The Joker. Okay, fair enough.
I'll give you it. I'll cut you some slack.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Love that song. It's even better than the That 70s Show musical episode when they sing it, but you know.
That's heresy, Matt. There's no
You hate that show.
I don't mind That 70s Show. It's okay. I like Red. I like what's his name? I can't remember the actor's name, but
Kurtwood
Smith. Yes, Kurtwood Smith.
Yes.
He plays the villain in RoboCop, so I love that he ended up becoming a father on a sitcom.
A suburban villain.
Yeah.
All right. Are you ready for your hard question?
I'm ready.
All right. What instrument does Krusty's daughter play?
Is it clarinet?
Oh, I'm sorry. Would you like a hint?
Sure.
You and your fiance own this particular instrument. One of them, anyway.
Oh, is it accordion?
No, sorry. It is the violin. You only get two chances. Sorry.
She plays violin. Really? I don't remember. I haven't watched that episode in forever.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I know you're not going to get this right, Matt. I'm gonna throw down a gauntlet right now. You're not getting this.
Oh, no. You're probably right.
But if you get it right, I'll be very impressed. So I'll give you that. But
it's about music.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Que Sera Sera, featured at the end of Bart's Comet, was originally recorded by who for what film?
Oh, my God. Yeah, no idea whatsoever.
Okay, I'll give you a hint. It is a director that is most often referenced in the show, is the director of the film.
Director of the film. Well, the only director I know that they reference repeatedly is Hitchcock, which means I have no idea what movie that would go with. You got me on this one.
It's recorded by Doris Day for The Man Who Knew Too Much, a Hitchcock film.
Oh, okay. That's the one on the train, right?
No idea.
Okay. Fair enough. You stumped me with going with your outside of The Simpsons knowledge.
It was in The Simpsons, Matt.
Yeah, but that information wasn't pertinent to the episode.
So?
I'm not saying it didn't meet the qualifications of the theme. I'm just saying it's you know, it's not in my wheelhouse.
Okay, Matt has sent us many, many, many music questions. Some of these I'm going to save, but and some of these we just saw it in the auto show, so I'm probably going to wait until the memory fades a little bit, so you'll get such an easy one. I'll give that one last. I'll do this one first. Who are the guest musicians in Homer Palooza?
Let's see. The Smashing Pumpkins, Cypress Hill, and Peter Frampton, I believe.
Missing one.
Oh, Sonic Youth.
Correct. There you go.
Okay. They were in Frampton's Cooler. That's the only reason I remember them.
In The Homer They Fall, what is Dredger Tatum's intro music?
I have no idea the song, but it sounds like Cypress Hill as well.
It's hip hop. You got that close.
I
know you love the hip hop. You love hip hop music.
Yeah.
Right, Matt?
Yeah.
You're a big fan.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to hear the song in my head.
You're not going to get it. It's okay.
I remember Homer's song. It was Why Can't We Be Friends?
I was going to ask you that next. So you got that. Dredger Tatum's is Time for Some Action by Redman.
Yeah, never would have got that.
You
not
don't,
a million years.
I don't think you listened to Redman or...
I saw that movie where we went to Harvard. Does that count?
No, that does not count. Okay, the last question I'm going to use is, in 2001 Greyhounds, This is a good question. I really like this question. Name 5 of the 10 animals Burns mentions as pieces of clothing in the song See My Vest.
Let's see. There's the vest made from gorilla chest, the Red Robin suit, gophers for his loafers. Let's see. That's what, 3?
That's 3.
That's 3. Okay. Tuxedo for, a greyhounds for tuxedo, obviously. There's so many, and I just can't remember any of them. What was his hat? Cat. Oh, yeah. His hat was his cat, which is just awful, and he should be killed for that. That's 5.
Okay. I'll give you a bonus if you can get the rest of them.
Oh, the rest of them. Okay. A poodle on his noodle. Mm-hmm. So a poodle hat. Something about clogs. I can't hear the rest of the thought in my head for some reason. I'm going to give up there.
Okay, so the ones you missed are Irish Setter.
Oh, yes.
Vampire Bat.
Of course.
The Albino African Endangered Rhino.
Oh, the shoes, of course. How could I?
Damn it. Grizzly Bear Underwear.
I got to go watch this episode, apparently. I'm way off.
And a turtle. You forgot the turtle.
Oh, the turtle was the turtleneck, right?
He wore it like the shell around.
Right.
But yeah, that's the rest of them. That's it. But I really enjoy. I like that.
So I got more than half.
You did. You did a good job, Matt. But you didn't get them all, which is what I was expecting from you. So you let me down. I'm really disappointed.
I know. I'm terrible.
You're terrible. But that I think that will do it for for the new Google Trivia Challenge. Got a lot of questions in there. And you guys are sending in them at a break. I don't know. We can't keep up, but please keep sending in. I really like having a nice selection. I really like seeing the questions you guys come up with because they're very creative. And that's the hardest part is not actually choosing what the question, like it's how to phrase it and make it seem interesting. So I do have one other thing I want to mention before we leave the segment is I forgot to mention this last week. We got multiple answers about the ingredients for Duff beer, which we could not remember and did not know because Chris had sent in the question. We had totally forgotten what they were, and apparently it's answered multiple times.
Really,
in different ways, but both very off the cuff kind of things. Chris himself sent in that Waiting for Duffman, which is one of the newest episodes when he had posted it. And it's Schlitz plus water. That's a good answer. That's a good gag.
That's a great answer.
But another fan, Matthew, he had posted that it's mentioned in Last Exodus Springfield, hops, barley, and sparkling clear mountain goat. The model. She doesn't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
From Pygmalion. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So multiple times. You had 2 different answers we could have gotten, and we didn't know either. But there you go. Let's go. Let's see. Okay. Well, we've done listener question. We've done the trivia challenge, Matt. You know what time it is now, right?
Ooh, the scary time?
It's not that scary. It's time for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever is the part of the show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them ranked episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Well, I got lost there for a second, guys. Jeez. Where does this one go, Matt? It's solid. It's a solid, really good episode. I think it's better better than the auto show, which is last week's show, last episode.
Which we put that one pretty far down there. I was actually looking right around number like 18, 19. Because I saw Flaming Moe's and I'm like, this is good, but it's definitely not as good as Flaming Moe's. So it has to go below Moe's.
I think I agree with you there.
Yeah. But Bart the Lover was pretty good. Radio Bart. I'd probably put that right around this one. What do you think?
I think that's a good spot for it in that ballpark, especially. Bart the Lover has more heart, but I think this one was funnier than Bart the Lover.
True, especially with the B plot, I have to admit, really made me laugh a lot, both as a kid and now. So in terms of straight up hilarity, with a little bit of heart added into it, I would probably say this is better than Bart the Lover.
Yeah, even though I think they're very comparable. I think they're very close to each other. But we don't condone ties here at The Simpsons Show. You have to be decisive. So I would say right behind Flaming O's, right above Bart the Lover. You caught into that, Matt?
I definitely caught into that.
Good.
Silked that.
Matt, I was about to say that I really enjoyed us having a thing that we say at the end. Then you got to say a dad joke.
Sorry.
But regardless, Bart's friend falls in love. Now is number 18 on best episode ever, right behind Flaming Moe's, right ahead of Bart the Lover. Lisa's substitute still holding on. Number one, strong. Homer's Odyssey still last place. Now number 58. Eventually something will dethrone it.
Eventually, but still going to be a while.
So you can find this list at our website, Simpsons Show, thesimpsonsshow.com has on all new episodes, downloadable streaming. You can comment on the new episodes. You can see this list and you can donate to the show. Of course, we'd obviously appreciate that. Before we go, so you can find me on Twitter at MixmasterShield. It's MixmasterShield. Please check out my comic book podcast. It's Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com, on iTunes, etc. You know, podcasts. Matt is not...
It's the best podcast that has a thing called a mush meter.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate that. We do have a mush meter. You have to listen to understand what a mush meter is, though. So check it out if you're curious. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him.
That's true. However, I have been hanging out at sea a lot lately. So if you are ever off the coast of Cape Canaveral, feel free to point a mirror approximately northeast from about a mile off the coast and just give it a couple flashes and I will come on over and say hey.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners are going to have a chance to do that, Matt.
It's going to be really sad when one of them does and I don't and everyone's going to be sad and I'm going to look like a jerk.
But I think we can call it a day with that. I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.